Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Robbed by Traditions. Jesus scolded the scribes and Pharisees in Mark chapter 7, telling them that the traditions of man makes God's word of none effect. When we allow our man-made traditions to dictate to us how we can approach God correctly, or that we need to act a certain way or do certain things to please God or to make ourselves more acceptable to God, we rob ourselves of the freedom we have in Christ Jesus that cannot be earned by our actions. Traditions rob us of our freedom that Jesus died to give us. What do you believe that is man-made traditions? Whatever it is robbing you of your freedom in Christ Jesus. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, we glorify you and we praise you. We thank you. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your Son, our Redeemer, who's delivered us from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. We are delivered. I thank you, Father, for the reality of our deliverance, that we're walking in it each and every day. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We draw on your ministry tonight, Holy Spirit, that you teach us. We thank you for it. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Ghost flowing through me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So last week we did some teaching regarding the Pharisees, and along the way I also wrote our monthly teaching letter, and it was also in line with that same teaching about the Pharisees. And I think right now that God's kind of turned my attention toward the thinking of the Pharisees, not necessarily trying to identify people as Pharisees, but more importantly, to identify thinking that would be the same kind of thinking that the Pharisees most likely thought. Because it's that kind of thinking that I believe will rob us from true reality, true fellowship with Jesus. And what happens, I believe, is that our Christian experience merely becomes traditions, and it becomes something that Jesus never intended it for it to be. Jesus intended Christianity to be a family, and for us to fellowship with our Heavenly Father, to talk to Him. And this is something that I guess is a good place to bring this out. I told Debbie the other day, I was spending some time with the Lord, and He brought this to my attention, that people tend to talk at God instead of talking with God. And there's a lot to that statement. You know, when you talk at somebody, or you know, you're just spitting out information, and you're not expecting anything in return, there's no back and forth. There's no conversation. And in order to have a conversation with someone that you can't see, you got to believe He's there. That's going to be the first thing. And you know, I think a lot of times people just don't think about the fact that God is here with us. He is everywhere. He's waiting for us to acknowledge Him. He's not going to force Himself on us. The Holy Ghost isn't going to force Himself on us. He waits patiently for us to recognize that He's there, to acknowledge Him, and to give Him space in our day. And but I tell you, you can get so busy, and I know this for a fact myself, you get so busy and you're so focused on what you're doing, and you fail to recognize that God is present with you. And I know I do this, and I kick myself because, you know, we shouldn't be that busy, that we're not acknowledging God, that we're not recognizing His presence because he wants that. He wants that. He wants us to fellowship with him. And, you know, I think, you know, if you look at how someone that, you know, has an attitude like a Pharisee, they're not thinking that way. They're not thinking God wants to talk to me. God wants to fellowship with me. My goodness, he loves us so much. I mean, his love for us is just, it's unfathomable. It's so real. And I'm telling you that for myself, if I can get a hold of how much he loves me, how much he wants to spend time with me, you know, and get that Pharisee mentality out, that Pharisee idea that you know, God doesn't want anything to do with us, that we're just kind of a you know, a little speck on his earth, and he's, you know, he doesn't really care about us. That's hogwash. That's not God at all. God, he loves us. He, you know, we're, each one of us are the apple of his eye. And so if we approach God from that standpoint, you know, we're not going to be trying to think about what we can do for him. You know, that idea, I think a lot of times we circumvent God's real plan, which is loving him, loving others. We circumvent that by trying to do things to make him happy. You know, hey, he's tickled with us. He loves us. We don't have to perform in order to please him. I know for the longest time, and I think at times I still catch myself thinking this, that God is only happy when I'm doing something for him. God's only pleased with me when I'm doing something for him. God's pleased with me all the time. You see, if it's based on my performance, now I'm thinking like a Pharisee again. And see, that's what I'm talking about. There's these little twinges of this Pharisee mentality that I think we all, at one time or another, that we deal with this and we don't recognize it. If we are basing our relationship in any way, shape, or form, our relationship with God is based on anything that we do, that's mentality that comes straight from the Pharisees. Our relationship is established in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and it has absolutely nothing to do with our actions. Now, you know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not in any way saying that you just go live however you want to. That's ridiculous too. I'm talking to people right now who are already committed to the Lord Jesus. And, you know, the thing that I'm trying to focus in on is that you love the Lord, and somewhere inside that switch has been turned on that says that God's only happy with me when I'm doing something for him. You know, that thing needs to get unplugged and pulled out of the socket, because that's not God at all. He's happy with you. He's so pleased with you. He loves you because you have received the Lord Jesus Christ. You have become a child of God. He loves you and wants the best for your life. You know, and you know, it's not just Christians that he loves. He loves each and every one of us. And so we have to stop looking through these rose-colored glasses from the Pharisees, and stop thinking that God is only pleased with us when we're doing something for him, because that's just not the case. You know, he is so happy, so pleased with each and every one of us. And, you know, if we just only recognize this, it will help us in our relationship with him and our fellowship with him. Because, you know, how many times have you done this? How many times have you, let's say your time with the Lord became more and more limited In other words, you began to spend fewer and fewer moments with the Lord. And it was based on the fact that you didn't think that your life was pleasing Him. You see how that works? Boy, if that's not a trick of the enemy, I don't know what is. To get us thinking that because in our minds somewhere we think God's not happy with us, so we won't spend time with Him. Boy, that couldn't be further from the truth. And so we want to look at just how Jesus dealt with some of these things. You know, we looked last week at Matthew 23. I guess we can start there. Wasn't really planning on that, but we can go there for a moment. Matthew 23. Jesus addressed the Pharisees, and in no uncertain terms, he just kind of read them the riot act. You can go through here and you can see all the different times that he says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Right there. Hypocrites. What's a hypocrite? Well, that word in the Greek language, if you look at the definition, it simply means an actor on a stage. So what Jesus was saying to them is, you all are just pretending. you're a bunch of phony balonies. You're acting like you're saints when actually you're not. And so he was reading their mail, and he went through this 23rd chapter of Matthew saying that time after time, you hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees. So let's look at a couple here. Verse 2. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and they do not. See, right there, he's beginning his teaching here about the Pharisees by telling them what a hypocrite is. They tell you to do these things, but they themselves aren't doing it. Boy, that'll get you into a lot of trouble. You know, we saw back in the, I don't know what the years were, in the 90s, I think, when you had the televangelists that were, two of them in particular. You know, one of them got in trouble because he was messing around with women that he shouldn't have been. And then he had one of the other televangelists start throwing rocks at him, basically. Next thing you know, we find out that guy that was doing the rock throwing, that he was doing the same thing, if not worse, than the first guy. See, that's hypocrisy. To stand back as if you are, you're just as clean as the driven snow, and all the while you've got this sin in your life. And you're telling this other people not to do these things. You can't do that. That'll get you in trouble, just like it did that guy. So Jesus is pointing out to the people, and he says, as long as the Pharisees recite the law, basically this is what he was saying. If they recite the law, you need to observe what's written in the law. You need to observe what's written in God's word. But don't follow their actions, because the Pharisees were not living the lifestyle that they should. So let's go on here and look at a little bit more. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen of men. You can stop right there. So what we read in the first verse there was, they're going to bind you up with all kind of heavy burdens. But that right there should tell you from what fountain they're drinking out of. That's from the devil himself. He wants to load people down with burdens. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He didn't come to weigh us down with all kind of man-made traditions that don't add up to a hill of beans. And I'm telling you, church after church, they have them. And It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. They're man-made traditions, just exactly what Jesus said the Pharisees did. And we have churches all across this country, all around the world, that are just chock full of man-made traditions. And it ain't right. It's just absolutely not right. And people get sucked into that stuff. They don't read their Bibles. They look to the person standing in front of them, expecting him to give them, to do their spiritual work for them. And, you know, you exactly what Israel did. You go and find out what God's saying to us, and you come back and tell us. If that is not what the children of Israel did, God wanted to talk directly to them, and they said, no, you talk to Moses, or you talk to Aaron. We don't want to hear from you. It's just exactly the same thing today. People don't want to spend time with Jesus. They don't want to listen to him and find out what he's saying to them. They want to go and have somebody else do their spiritual work for them, work if you want to call it that, or just spending time with the Lord. And then you come back and you tell me what he said. Boy, that's not what Jesus had in mind. That's not what the Father wants. You know, when you get into that arena, you're getting into the same kind of an atmosphere like the Pharisees ran the church back in the time when Jesus walked the earth. And what you'll end up with is man-made traditions that absolutely have no power in them, and they get people confused as to what Christianity really is. Christianity is you became a member of God's family through your relationship with Jesus. Because you surrendered your life to Him, you were reborn, recreated, born into God's family. God is now your Father, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And thank God, you don't have to perform. You don't have to follow man-made traditions in order to please God. God is just as pleased with you right now. Right now. He loves you. He loves you so much. We just don't have any idea how much He loves us. If we did, we wouldn't run around thinking that we have to perform to please Him. That's what the Pharisees tried to say is, you know, you in order to please God, you got to do these things. You got to wash your hands a certain way. You got to wash those hands. You know, and when the Pharisees saw Jesus' disciples not washing their hands, oh my goodness, they were up in arms. What's wrong with your disciples? They're not doing what the traditions of the elders said to do. You know, how can you say you're a Christian if you're not doing this? Oh my goodness. You can almost fill in the blank. Just go to certain churches and you can fill it. You know, how can you say you're a Christian if you don't do this little thing that our church tradition says you're supposed to do? You know, some of them it's, going to church on what they say is the Sabbath day. You're not going on the Sabbath. And boy, they'll get all upset with you. I saw a truck just the other day. Couldn't believe this. Driving down the road. He had messages all over his truck. Big, nice, beautiful truck. And one of the messages right on the tailgate said, God's coming back and he's mad. And I thought, oh, brother. And another one on the back window of his truck said something about the Sabbath day. Well, you can tell right there, when they mention that, when they start talking about the Sabbath day, they don't got a clue that Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. What does that mean? It means that we cease from our labors of trying to make ourselves righteous, and we receive His righteousness. That's what the Sabbath was all about. That all of that whole deal with Israel and the law and worshiping on the Sabbath was all a type and a shadow of Jesus, and the fact that you don't have to work on trying to be righteous, because they never could anyway. They weren't righteous. You know, they just had counted righteousness whenever they followed the law, but they weren't truly righteous. And so, you know, they had that Sabbath day. Then, and what was that depicting? It was depicting the fact that now you don't have to work for righteousness. You receive it by faith. You can't do anything to earn it. Nothing. That's why on the Sabbath you couldn't. Boy, I'll tell you what. On the Sabbath day, according to the law, when you were living in that time period, if you would have picked up some sticks to make a fire, you would have just about, I think you could have got killed for that. You know, and any kind of work, forbidden, nothing. You can't do anything. They'd cook their food a day in advance. Why did they do all of that? To create a type and a shadow of Jesus, our Sabbath. And that when we come to Him, we don't have to try and earn anything anymore. It's all ours through faith, through faith by grace, or grace by faith, excuse me. And it's ours. All we have to do is receive it. And so that's what that whole thing is about. And see, the people that are hammering on this Sabbath day business, they're doing it just the same mentality that the Pharisees had. It's about what we do. It's about our actions. We have to do something. You guys aren't doing it right. You know, that's what they're saying. Every time they open the church doors on the Sabbath, they're basically looking at everybody else saying, you guys aren't doing it right. You know, we're the ones doing it right. Oh, for heaven's sakes. Anytime you get into a group of people that say something like that, you need to just turn and walk out the door. Because you got to know, whenever they're saying those kind of things, it's coming out of that idea of the Pharisee, the thinking of the Pharisee. So let's go back here. Let's see if there's anything more. Oh, and the other point that I wanted to make in verse 5, all their works, they do for to be seen of men, right there. Everything the Pharisee does or did in that time period, anything a Pharisee-minded person will do today, they do it to be seen of men. You know, that right there is a real good measuring stick to determine if the person's motives are right or not. Are they motivated by ideas that come from that mentality of the Pharisee? Well, if they do, they're going to do things in order for people to see them, to notice them, to look at them. And that's not the right motive. That's not the right reason. We're not supposed to be, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. And here we do everything to let people know what we're doing, particularly when it comes to giving finances. You know, you have people they'll have church services where they'll do pledges, and you know, who'll pledge $100? I'll do that, and they raise their hand and let everybody know what they're doing. How crazy is that? Isn't that, it goes against what the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, and they're sitting there, I'll give 100, I'll give 200. And what's the real reason in their heart? Because is it because they want people to see what they're doing? If it is, it's the wrong reason, and there's no benefit there. All right, let's go on here. I wasn't going to read all of 23, but you know, some of these things don't get preached on very often. They don't get taught very often, and consequently, You know, people don't recognize this kind of mentality, and if you don't recognize it, and you don't recognize the, you know, when a person is thinking this way and they're motivated this way, you could easily get sucked into something that you don't want to be a part of. You know, you can find yourself in the middle of traditions, and you're looking around thinking, how did I get here? How did I get in this mess? Any time that somebody comes up with something for you to do, and this something is going to make you more holy, or something is going to impress God or get God's attention or whatever, just realize that you've just stepped into the arena with a Pharisee-minded person that doesn't recognize that it's not about our actions. It is about who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. You know, it's, as I said that, the thing that went off inside of me is, it's just so good, it's hard to believe. It really is so hard to believe because it's so good what Jesus did for us. You know, and without any kind of expectation of us performing a certain way, but just receiving what he's done for us, my goodness. You know, there's a verse, you can hold your place there. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of the verses that, I tell you, it really comes to my attention frequently. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, we're looking towards the end of that verse. Verse 30. But of him, are you of him? Are you born again? Then you're of him. Of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. This is what he's made unto us. He's made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This is what Jesus is made unto us. See, there's nothing there about you doing something in order to receive these or be eligible for these. The only thing you need to do in order to be eligible is accept the Lordship of Jesus. And when you do, these things are yours in him. Wisdom. God's wisdom. Not just worldly wisdom, but God's wisdom. Righteousness. The very thing that man could never achieve on his own. Never could. There's no way that man could do it. Because if man could achieve righteousness on his own, Jesus went to the cross in vain. See, that right there tells you there's no other way for man to receive righteousness. Absolutely no other way. But in him, we are righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So we have wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, sanctified, set apart, not because of anything that I've done, but everything that he did has made me sanctified. I am sanctified in Christ Jesus in redemption. Glory to God. I am redeemed, not because of anything that I did. I simply received my redemption by faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, God made it so easy for us. It cost Jesus his life, but he's made it so accessible for each and every one of us if we'll only believe. That's the prerequisite. We have to believe. Glory to God. All right, so we can go back to Matthew once again. See if we can't finish up here. Look at 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. for a pretense. Make long prayer for a pretense. See, on the one hand, what are they doing? They're devouring the widow's house. There's nothing that I could think of any more low down, dirty, dog low than a Pharisee taking advantage of a widow. The law said that Israel was supposed to take care of the widows as long as they qualified as a widow because of their age and everything, other factors. As long as they did, Israel was supposed to take care of them. Well, the Pharisees, they were just interested in taking care of themselves. And if it meant taking the last dime out of a poor little widow's hand, they didn't have any problem with it because they were hypocrites and they only thought about themselves. And then they would make, the rest of that verse, then they would make long prayers, a pretense. I want to show you how spiritual I am. I'm going to make this long, glorious prayer all the time in their hearts. They were wicked. They put on a show on the outside. They were hypocrites. They were players on a stage, but in their hearts, boy, I tell you, in their hearts, they'd take the widow's last dime because that was who they were. That was the Pharisees. Amen. So let's go over here to Mark chapter 6. We'll look at a few verses here in Mark chapter 6. Get my bearings here. Oh, excuse me, I said 6. It's actually 7. Sorry about that. Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Verse 2. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread, see, here's this, there's this eating bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands. Oh, heaven's sakes, you can't eat that bread with your little unwashing hands. We've got traditions here, don't you know? If you're gonna be holy, you better follow the traditions and you better wash those hands the right way. Glory to God. For the Pharisees, verse 3, and all the Jews. Now, that's just standing out to me right there as I read it. All of the Jews, all of them, the Pharisees and all of the Jews observe these man-made traditions. No wonder the body of Christ was, or the church back then was in trouble. They were following these crazy traditions that men were making up. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. There's absolutely nothing that's going to change in your life if you stop or you start washing your hands a certain way. Nothing. You know, to think that that's the case is to circumvent what Jesus did for you. You know, you're believing a lie. You're believing that you can do something on the outside to change your own heart. And you can't. God spent hundreds of years working with Israel, trying to convince them of this very point. Gave them the law. What was the purpose of the law? To prove to them that they couldn't keep it. To prove that they were spiritually dead. They couldn't keep it. They didn't have the capacity to keep the law because of their spiritual deadness on the inside. So, going back here, Mark
Let's begin reading again. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. This wasn't something that was in the law. This was one of their extra, you know, man-made traditions. You know, those things that people say that give you the idea, you know, if we know that you're saved, brother, but if you really want to be holy, you're going to do such and such and such and such. Oh, give me a break. You know, you're going to do this and that, and you have to pray a certain amount of hours of a week, and you're going to have to fast a certain amount, and you're going to have to do this and that. All you're doing is getting people focusing on their actions instead of focusing on who they became when they made Jesus the Lord of their life. Focus on that, because if you focus on the actions, you're going to spend time talking at God, because you're not going to sense the reality of his presence. You're not going to have a fellowship with him, because in your mind you're not worthy yet, because you still, you know, you still have to work up to it. You still have to qualify. You're already qualified in Jesus. He made you qualified. You don't have to qualify on some man's standards, and they say it's got to be this many hours of doing this and that many days of doing that and blah blah blah. It's an endless road talking about your actions, when all the while he made you holy, he made you righteous, he gave you God's wisdom, he's given you redemption. And you are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You're already sanctified. Oh, brother, you shouldn't say that. That's the Bible that said it, not me. I am sanctified. I am righteous in his righteousness. Not in my own. I know that. But how many times do you sit around saying that you're righteous in his righteousness? We ought to say that. I mean, I believe that gives, I think our Father is enjoys hearing us say those words. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except verse 3, except they wash their hands oft and eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, many other things. Look at that. I think that's so funny. Many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and tables. It wasn't just the washing of hands. They had a whole litany of things that you had to do in order to be right with God, in other words, according to them. You know, do this, don't do that, do this. Well, I tell you, you'd be a nervous wreck thinking about all this stuff. And say, I'm not a nervous wreck. Why? Because I recognize that Jesus did all the work for me. All I have to do is receive it by faith. Hallelujah. Then the Pharisees and scribes, verse 5, asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And you know, when they said it, boy, you can just see them. They were spitting fire. How come your disciples don't wash their hands? Verse 6, he answering said unto them, I like this, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me. This is a verse I wanted to get to. Honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They honor me with their lips. Well, I tell you what, that'll get you in trouble right there. You honor God with your lips, but your heart's far from Him. You're putting on a show. You're just an actor on a stage. You know, you throw out some words to God. Think maybe this will, you know, appease Him, appeasing God. You don't have the first clue who God is or what kind of relationship God wants to have with you. He loves you. He's your Father. Boy, I just don't think we spend enough time appreciating God being our Father. He's our Father. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were born again into God's family. He's our Father. We're His children. Hallelujah. It doesn't get any better than that. It really doesn't. You know, we think there has to be something else. There has to be this or that. You know, we think that, you know, what we have might not be enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Glory to God. He loves us. He cannot help Himself. He loves me. Hallelujah. And He loves you. He can't help it. He is love. He loves us. Glory to God. Let me read that verse 6 one more time. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as hypocrites. So Jesus is now going to tell us what the prophecy was that God gave to Isaiah hundreds of years ago before that prophesied of the events that Jesus was standing there looking at. Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, this people honoreth me with this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Heart's far. I can stand here and I can put on a show for you, but in my heart is far from the Lord. It isn't that my actions aren't corresponding with what's in my heart. What's in my heart is something completely different. But I'm going to put on a show to try and impress you and make you think that I'm so holy and I'm something special. God's not interested in those shows. God's not interested in people trying to put themselves off like something that they're not. That's hypocrisy. And we've got more than enough of it in the church. We've got more than enough traditions, man-made traditions. We've got so much. It's amazing that God is able to get anything accomplished, really. Because all He has to work with is us. And we're so many of us are so full of man-made traditions, we wouldn't know God if He came down the street with a red hat. Because we're just looking, we're trying to do things within ourself to make Him pleased with us. We don't know Him. He's already pleased with us. He already loves us. He's not expecting us to feel like we have to do something to please Him. That's not what He wants. He wants us to rest in Jesus, rest in our sanctification, rest in our righteousness, rest in our redemption, rest in it. Take your rest. Stop working. Stop trying to celebrate the Sabbath by working. No, celebrate the Sabbath by just resting in the Sabbath. That's it right there. Rest in the Sabbath. Rest in Jesus. He is our Sabbath. Just rest in Him. Stop laboring. Stop trying to please God through your actions. He's already pleased. He already loves us. We don't have to try and convince him to love us. Thank God for that. He already does. He can't help himself. God can't help himself. He loves us. He just loves us. And we're accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. Oh, that is just good news. That's good news. That's good news that he's no longer put out with us. That he's no longer angry with us. You know, Jesus is like that guy's truck. Jesus is coming back. He's not mad at us. He's not. He's not mad at all. He wants to see more people in the kingdom of God. But he certainly isn't mad at us. Hallelujah. Then the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why walk not the disciples according to the tradition," I'm in verse 5, "of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it's written, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, this is part of Isaiah's prophecy, teaching for doctrine." Here's what I wanted to get to tonight. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Think about what Jesus is saying here. They are preaching this as doctrine, as pure doctrine. And what is it? Man-made traditions. Absolutely not pure doctrine. So, and I challenge you. I challenge you to just be on guard and to look for the man-made traditions in our churches, in the our spiritual world, however you want to say it, our Christian world, our Christian community. Look at the traditions that have they're just everywhere, you know, and we don't even think about it. It's like, yeah. So many things in, you know, a regular church service. Well, why do you do it this way? Well, we've always done it this way. You know, this is just what they think is. This is just what God expects out of us. You know, and all the while, it's something that some man made up, not God. So, anyway, this is the point right here that I felt like the Lord wanted me to get to this evening. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. See, Isaiah in his prophecy, he was saying, they worship me, but they worship me in vain. They worship, but it's not true worship, because they're interested in man-made doctrines. They're interested in trying to figure out how to get themselves righteous without going through Jesus. They're interested in something other than God's plan for redemption. See, that's what they want. I want another pathway. I don't want to have to surrender my whole life to Jesus. I want a different way. You know, I want to be able to do something. I want to wash my hands. I'll just wash my hands. That's a good tradition, and I think that'll make me righteous in that way. I'll never eat food without washing my hands. If I go to the marketplace, I'm going to wash my hands before I eat, and that's going to make me righteous. No, it's not. It's just something that you made up. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole list of that kind of stuff. You know, it goes on and on and on, things that people do. And, you know, you go to some churches and the poor little ladies, they have all their hair. They won't cut it because they think there's something in the Bible that says they can't cut their hair. So they have it all up in a bun. I mean, this big old fat bun full of hair because they can't cut it, you know, and or they, you know, some of them, the women have to wear these dresses that are just real frumpy looking, real plain. And it doesn't seem like it affects the men whatsoever, but the women, they can't wear any makeup, can't wear any jewelry. All that junk is just man-made traditions. And they take a few verses out of the Bible, but they don't know this. They don't look at the context of it. And because their relationship with God apparently is one of talking at God instead of conversing with Him and listening to Him, that, you know, they're doing these things in an effort to try and please Him, and all the while He's pleased, and all He wants from us is our fellowship instead of trying to do these things to convince Him that we're righteous. Why not just fellowship with Him and thank God that we're righteous in the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus? He made us righteous. It's not by our works, lest any man should boast. All right, so that was a verse I wanted to get to this evening, and that's Mark chapter 7, verse 7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. In vain. Their worship is in vain. Man, that... Now I'm going to serve God this way, and He's going to like it. And I worship God this way, and He'll just like it because I say that He will. Uh-uh. No. If it's not in the Word of God, if you're trying to earn something through your actions, if you're doing anything in addition to believing that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're doing anything in addition to that, trying to make yourself holy, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You don't have to do any of that. He's your righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again. The wisdom of God is yours. Righteousness of God is yours. Sanctification of God is yours. He sanctified you. I'm sanctified in my redemption. My redemption is sure. It's through Jesus. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. I am redeemed. I am redeemed from all of the curse of the law, every bit of it. I am redeemed from it. The curse has no right coming on me. Jesus has redeemed me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There was one verse that was just coming to me right there, and that was in Romans 8:1. Why don't you flip over there with me just for a second. Romans 8:1. I about had this verse right on the tip of my tongue right there. Kind of Romans 8. Verse 1. There is, therefore now, no condemnation, no condemning sentence to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after that reborn human spirit. There's therefore now no condemnation. There's no more condemning sentence against you. Glory to God. God is so in love with us. God is so pleased with us. We just need to stop trying to get Him to love us. And understand that He already does. And that's why Jesus went to the cross. Because of His great love for us. And we just need to stop trying to earn His love. Earn His acceptance. Earn His attention. All we got to do is give Him our attention and we got His. It's real simple. Mark, are you good at that? You know, it's like I said earlier. I can go through my day and I tell you there are times whenever I get so caught up with focusing on the the work at hand, that I am missing the mark when it comes to spending time just acknowledging him and recognizing he's real. He is real. He's right here with me. And see, it's almost like I just get disconnected at times and just get caught up in what I'm doing and think my thoughts are all about that. And I forget about the helper. My goodness, he'll help you. I got into a tight spot this evening. Just, you know, here I am trying to get done with this person's house I was working on, realizing, knowing that I need to get home and get ready to do this live stream. And, you know, right at the end of the job, just, you know, putting the last little things in place. The next thing I know, you know, trying to put his toilet back in place. I redid his whole house because he had toilet problems and they flooded everything and it was a mess. Redid all the drywall and everything. And the next thing I know, trying to put the toilet in and the toilet is just, it's just not working. And so what happens at that moment? At that moment, you can either get emotional and frustrated and aggravated, or you can look to the Lord and just let him direct you through that situation, whatever it is. I mean, that was what I was involved with. But each one of us deal with these things. You're under pressure. You got to perform. You got to get something accomplished. And the next thing you know, you can't, you know, there's a wrench in the works. Something's not working right. And how do you respond? Do you recognize the reality of God is with you? He's in you. He's wanting to be a part of every aspect of your life. He will help you if you rely on him. If you turn to him, he will give you the answer that you need. Are you willing and able to do that? Or do you just think like the Pharisees and God's not really real to you and your relationship with God is based on just your actions and you just perform these things, you know, once a week at church and the rest of the time it's, you know, you're just, it's dog eat dog and you just do the best you can. Which, what is it? Because he's real. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to not just be a part, he wants to have he wants to be the center of attention in your life. Well, how about that? So often we are the center of our own attention. He wants to be the center of attention. He wants our attention. He wants you to spend time, but he's not going to force himself on you. You have to make the choice. You have to be willing to acknowledge him. Otherwise, we're just falling in that same trap the Pharisees fell in, just performing, and maybe he'll be pleased with us, maybe he won't. Well, that's a sad way to live. There's such a better way, and I want for myself, I want to tap into that better way. I want to live this out each and every day where I'm in fellowship with him. And it has nothing to do with whether or not I feel like I earned it, his attention or not. But I believe I have it because of who I am in Christ Jesus. There you go. Easy as that. Amen. I'd like to pray with you and for you. Heavenly Father, I believe that I was able to present the message that you desired for me to present tonight. I thank you, Father, for the reality of Jesus in our lives. I thank you, Father, that we can live not as the Pharisees, not thinking as the Pharisees, but we can live as Jesus lived. And we can have the same kind of rich fellowship with you that Jesus enjoyed when he was on this earth. And Father, I believe that if we'll do this, that we will will not be deceived by the enemy into trying to perform to please you, but will already believe and accept knowing that you're happy with us, you're pleased with us, and it's not based on our actions, it's based on what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.